Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Thanks for starting your week with me. Welcome to a supersized episode of What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. 3 hours of culture and creativity, jam-packed, and I'm excited about this episode. Lots to share with you of all kinds. First, I got a country concert announcement from a superstar coming to Milwaukee in September. And I was doing some sniffing around. He's performed in Wisconsin a bit, but not a lot since 2019. So somebody to look forward to. I will share that very soon. And we're diving into local flavor from the Traveling Beer Garden opening at Wilson Park and a non-alcoholic artful event with a flamenco flair in the historic Third Ward, both of those to look forward to on Wednesday, and a moving musical way to mark Milwaukee Armed Forces Week is happening Wednesday night, and you're going to get a powerful emotional preview of the Midnight Piper. It's an annual tradition that happens outside police stations across southeastern Wisconsin, and longtime member, Greater Milwaukee Fire and Police Pipes and Drums bagpiper and event organizer Gary Byers is going to join me in the studio with the history of this tradition and some of the things that make it special. And the song you need to hear, it will be by Gary Byers, a live in-studio performance of Amazing Grace that I think we'll all feel in our heart and our souls. Second hour, going to meet cast members from A Raisin in the Sun. Actors Ekene Ikegwani and Silver Anderson are going to join me to share more from Milwaukee Chamber Theater's impactful and important production happening this month at the Cabot Theater in the historic Third Ward. It really is an influential play that's still one of those plays that debuted on Broadway in 1960, but still has so many themes that are relevant now. And if you're looking for a very entertaining way to learn, how about a film about foundation garments throughout the ages? Local filmmaker Pam Percy has created an amusing yet thoroughly researched, fascinating film called Brava, A Titillating History of Bras. She joins me at 7:35 with your personal invitation to come see the Thursday screening on the big screen at the Oriental Theater that also includes a fashion show, and if you're so inclined, a conga line that you can join. And our bonus hour, going to be a music-filled party celebrating the music of local band Kitty Softpaw, and also the music of the Wizard of Waukesha, Les Paul. Kitty Softpaw celebrating their album released Catalyst, and you'll find out about the Guitar Town Music Festival in June in Waukesha that celebrates Les Paul's musical contributions. So music, culture, stories, moments you won't hear anywhere else. And I also, you know, I like to start Mondays, if I'm here with you, how was your weekend? I want to find out. I can't be everywhere all at once. I try, but I just can't. What was a highlight of your weekend? And where were you? What'd you do? What was a highlight? Did you go somewhere fun? Did you see somebody you enjoy? Maybe binge watch a cool series? Hey, whatever makes you happy, I'd like to know. Maybe it's finishing a home project. I'm still cleaning up from my basement flooding in early April. Making progress. The talk and text line, Siding Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Big wins, small joys. I am interested. For me, I had Saturday morning good diner breakfast, a delicious diner breakfast in West Allis. I think it's called Classic 84. It's right by Wisconsin State Fair Park. And my pal Amy and I, man, we had some hearty homemade food and very welcoming service. You know, when there was like, very neighborly. Felt like I completely belonged. And then I saw the closing night of Bug at the Constructivist Theater. And while I was there at that Broadway Theater Center, a lot of people at A Raisin in the Sun at Milwaukee Chamber Theater, too. And a lot of people dressed up for Saturday night, which was really nice to see. And then yesterday, the time is not linear, is it? Chicago was where I was yesterday. Mother's Day with Mom. Drove up and down Lakeshore Drive, Michigan Avenue. And I actually got to see the Obama Presidential Center campus in progress. It's right by the Museum of Science and Industry and the University of Chicago campus. Got to see the Frank Lloyd Wright house that's there. So it's nice to kind of take a little break and drive around, road trip in the sunshine yesterday. And Siding Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. What was a highlight of your weekend? And producer Isaac Marquardt with me. Highlight for you?
Saturday, we celebrated my best friend and bandmate's birthday.
What'd you do?
We had an Austin Powers movie marathon.
I talked about binging. Sure.
Yeah, there you go.
And drop a line on me. Oh, behave.
Oh, behave. I can't do the accent at all.
Very good. You, in your James Bond parody world. Did anybody have the glasses? Did anybody dress up?
He actually almost hired an Austin Powers impersonator to just come and hang out for like an hour. But there were this guy wanted a flight from Chicago to Milwaukee, and that wasn't happening for
an hour. I was just
going to
say, is there
party.
Such a thing as an Austin Powers impersonator?
There are many, but only one close by.
He could have driven just like me. Yeah, he wanted a flight.
He refused to drive. He refused to take a train.
An
he
Amtrak.
Said, I only do flights and I want a hotel.
Oh, my. Now I'm curious. I'm like, he better be really good if you hire this Austin Powers.
I know.
That's funny. Or there's a market if you want to be a local Austin Powers impersonator. That was a highlight that I didn't expect. Thank you for giving us joy, Isaac. Well, not Austin Powers, but an entertainer of the country style. Concert announcement and two events to raise a glass at this week. That is next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And I'm telling you about a concert announcement. This country star performed at the NFL Draft in Green Bay this time last spring. He's on his way back to Milwaukee. Can I hear some of that music? I think this is his first time back in Milwaukee for the first time since Summerfest 2014. I'm talking about Brad Paisley, the man who likes to pick off ticks, and he has added a Milwaukee stop to his tour, Brad Paisley Live, the BMO Pavilion, September 4th, 2026. Tickets for the fan club go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. And you can even get VIP packages, you can get backstage tours and all sorts of perks. Do it right if you haven't seen Brad Paisley in a while. Jake Worthington opening up that September 4th show. And if you're a Brad Paisley fan, you might already know this. He's got new music out, a new track called Fallen. It's an ongoing project called Tacklebox, where he's been mixing 90s songs, unreleased and new material. Very creative fella. And if you're a really big Brad Paisley fan, again, you might already know this, but he'll be on American Idol's finale tonight. He's going to do a duet with Lucas Leon, singing I'm Gonna Miss Her. And, you know, when you kind of dig in, it's like, oh, man, he's got 3 Grammys, 25 number one hits. That's when you're like, I got to think you know some song by Brad Paisley. Got Ticks one, got all the rage and gave me a chuckle. I always like an amusing lyric. This is Mud on the Tires, one of the songs that I bet he will have on his set list. And Brad Paisley's been a member of the Grand Ole Opry since 2001. CMA Entertainer of the Year, and he's one of those fellas who's co-hosted the CMA Awards for years and has nearly 5 billion with a B career streams and was just recently inducted into the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. So if Brad Paisley's on your bucket list, circle September 4th, the BMO Pavilion outdoor show to enjoy Brad Paisley back in Milwaukee after a long spell there. And if you love to sip a good beer in the great outdoors, or if you like to savor the flavor of a non-alcoholic option while you're surrounded by local art, you have options Wednesday here in Milwaukee. I will share with you the details so you can decide which one to add to your social calendar. That's next on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
It puts you in a good mood now, doesn't it? The traveling beer garden that we talk about and look forward to, well, tis the season. Wet your whistle on Wednesday at a couple of beer spots and even a non-alcoholic spot surrounded by art. But it is time. The traveling beer garden managed by the Milwaukee County Parks, 13th year, and it kicks off on Wednesday at Wilson Park there at 16th and Howard. And it goes for a good stretch there, but the Traveling Beer Garden this year has 2 different tours. One's called the Roll Out the Barrel Tour, which rolls out on Wednesday. And then the Pass Me a Pint Tour goes to about half a dozen other parks. That doesn't start until June. So your first chance to have a beer out by the trees in a good Milwaukee County park at Wilson Park is going to be Wednesday. And this is one of those where you're going to want to get there. I think it's right at 5. They're going to tap that keg and, you know, you can get your glass under there while it lasts and christen it with a good free beer. And this is in partnership with Sprecher Brewery, good local brew for gosh since the 80s. And the fun part is, you know, they serve the beer out of tappers from old fire trucks that have been repurposed into mobile beer trucks. They'll stop for about 2 weeks at a time at the different parks. So Wilson Park on Wednesday, then it will move to McCarty Park, then Grant Park, Sheridan Park, Fleming Park, and wrap up at Greenfield Park for the Roll Out the Barrel Tour. And then the parks that are on the Pass Me a Pint Tour that starts in June will be Cooper Park, Lake Park, Doctors Park, Gordon Park, and then Trimborne Farm, wrapping up that. And I do have a tip for you, because I have gone to a few of these traveling beer gardens over the years. If you bring your own glass pint glass, a clean one, of course, you get the discount. You get the refill price. So help you stretch your dollar. And, you know, they always have some good bites and some games to play, like cornhole or bags, whichever you call it, or bags, as a friend of mine calls it. But the other good thing is you're doing a good deed for the green spaces by having a drink at the traveling beer garden, because proceeds from the beer gardens go towards park improvements and maintenance. And if you want that list again, you can find it. We have a whole article, WTMJ.com, for the Traveling Beer Garden at Milwaukee County Parks. And I noticed that it's also American Craft Beer Week, the 20th annual, starts today. And if you sniff around, you can find a lot of different places where you can raise a glass. And in Madison, it's called Beer Rock, B-I-E-R-O-C-K. They're celebrating American Craft Beer Week all week long. Tomorrow, Mini Ninja Fest with Vintage Brewing Company. On Wednesday, they have Beer Bingo with Three Sheeps Brewing. And Thursday, Coast to Coast feature from Allagash. Wow, I like a good Allagash White. To Alaskan. And then Friday, Dark and Bright feature with One Barrel Brewing. Saturday, they've got a pint glass giveaway with Third Space. And on Sunday, Euchre on the radio during Brewers game with Lion's Tail Brewing. Not entirely sure how they're going to do that, but it sounds like a lot of fun. So that's at Beer Rock in Madison for American Craft Beer Week that has just kicked off today. And another one to tell you about is the 10th anniversary of Cedarburg's Fermentorium. They are kicking that off, a five-day celebration of their 10th anniversary that also kicks off on Wednesday with good old America's pub quiz trivia, which is a lot of fun. But they have all sorts of special beer releases that are seasonal. Summer's Ready, Midnight Panda, an Imperial Stout with coffee and vanilla. Ooh, that's a... I like a good stout. I like a good dark beer. But they've got a lot of fun. And they've also got live music lined up for Saturday. And they have a bags tournament on Sunday. That is the 10th anniversary of Fermentorium in Cedarburg. So that's where you can get your beer on this week. But you might be thinking, hey, didn't you say there was some fun in a non-alcoholic option? Absolutely. Wednesday, you could be part of a countrywide gathering, the Great Curious Cocktail Party, at Gallery 218 in the Marshall Building in the historic Third Ward. Starts at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. And Curious Cocktails are non-alcoholic cocktails. They are mocktails by Curious Elixirs. And truly, these parties are going on all around the country. And Milwaukee is one of the spots. I think it's like 175 different cities. And this is not just a way to sample some non-alcoholic drinks while seeing some great local art. You could also enjoy live music, fusion flamenca, guitar and dance performance at Gallery 218, Jose Serrano and Nancy Azevedo. I'm giving her a different pronunciation, but Jose and Nancy entertaining. And yes, there will be appetizers. Think about it kind of like a mini gallery night MKE, where galleries are open and you just can stop in, socialize, browse. But great entertainment, absolutely free to be part of the Great Curious Cocktail Party and get your samples at Gallery 218 and enjoy, man, beautiful proficiency of music and dance with fusion flamenca, Jose Serrano and Nancy Azevedo. And that's in the Marshall Building in the historic Third Ward right there at Water and Buffalo. So helping you make the most of your midweek merriment, either a beer garden or an art gallery in the Third Ward. You now have options. And next, I'm excited about this because it's, you know, how art can bring people together. It can bridge differences. It can help comfort people. It's a moving and musical way to mark Milwaukee Armed Forces Week. And Wednesday night, the Midnight Piper. It's an annual tradition, and it happens outside police stations across southeastern Wisconsin, nearly two dozen police stations. And this is just a beautiful way to honor fallen officers by playing music. I mean, think about any time you hear a bagpipe. I think sometimes a lot of people associate it with Irish culture and Irish fest, and it certainly is an instrument from that time. But man, you hear one bagpiper and it just gets your attention and it pulls on the heartstrings. And the Greater Milwaukee Fire and Police Pipes and Drums Band has been participating and playing at different meaningful events in our area for years now. And Gary Byers is a longtime member of the Greater Milwaukee Fire and Police Pipe and Drum Band, and he has been one of the organizers of this event. And he is my guest next. It's fun. You can just barely hear it. He is tuning his bagpipes in one of our production studios. So I love that he's brought his instrument in, because I think there's just a lot of curiosity about bagpipes. What does it take to play them? It cannot be a simple, straightforward process, but to be able to use music as a way to comfort people and as a way to bring people together, just wonderful. So Gary is tuning up his bagpipes. He will join me in the studio very shortly with all the information on Midnight Piper, the annual tradition, and how you may be able to get involved and pay tribute during Milwaukee Armed Forces Week. So circle your calendar. It's going to be late on Wednesday night at 11:55. A lone bagpiper will stand outside and play outside a Milwaukee police station. There are about 22 on the list. We'll go through that list and hear some beautiful bagpipe music with Gary Byers. So stay with us here on What's on Tap, this supersized episode. But right now we check in with the WTMJ Breaking News Center for the latest updates. Here is Jessica Gatso.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. I am Sandy Max, and I am very honored to be joined in the studio by an extraordinary musician with a mission. His name is Gary Byers. Gary, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
And Gary, what do you play? What instrument?
I play the bagpipe, the Great Highland Bagpipes.
And why are you playing the bagpipes this week?
This week is National Police Week. And every National Police Week, they have a candlelight ceremony. And the candlelight ceremony, when it ends, there's traditionally a bagpiper that goes to the memorial, and at midnight will play memorial tunes and will finish with Amazing Grace. In the year 2020, the pandemic took place. They could not have that. So our bagpipe band, the Greater Milwaukee Fire and Police Pipes and Drums, decided that we did not want to do that because we promised to always remember the fallen. And so we got together, and on the 13th of whatever day of the week it was then, of May, we went to 15 different locations from Coleman to Racine in the state. And at the stroke of midnight, we all struck in and played Amazing Grace. That has now grown to 22 locations in the state. And we have a piper at each location. And we remember the fallen. And we play Amazing Grace for that purpose.
Gary, how profound that you and your other musicians really took that "you will always be remembered" to heart.
Oh, yes.
So there is just one lone bagpiper who will be standing outside each of these 22 police stations on Wednesday night, not quite midnight. Yeah. What time will you be performing?
It says on the brochures, it says 11:55 p.m. That's only so they don't confuse which midnight you're talking
that
about.
That makes sense. Sure. So late Wednesday night, yes.
At the stroke of midnight, we'll strike in.
So that's when it is. So I'll list through the locations. Cedarburg, Coleman, Fond du Lac, Franklin, Germantown, Greendale, Hales Corners, Menominee Falls, Mequon, the Milwaukee Police Department at 7th and State, Muskego, New Berlin, Oak Creek, Port Washington, Racine, St. Francis, Sheboygan, South Milwaukee, Watertown, Wausau, Wauwatosa, and West Allis.
Correct.
That's getting around.
We're only limited by the amount of pipers that we can find that want to play at midnight.
And so you have 22 pipers.
Yes. We have, with our band, we have 18 pipers at the current time, but there are people that believe in our mission, and they've kind of given us a call and said, we're pipers and we'd like to help you.
Well, sure, because it's such a meaningful mission.
And this year, one of our pipers couldn't make it, and he's got a student piper. And the student is 16 years old, and he's stepping in, and he's going to do it.
16?
16.
That's wonderful to inspire a new generation
right.
to pay honor to those law enforcement officers who've lost their lives while in the line of duty.
Correct.
That's great to be an inspiration. He is Gary Byers with the Greater Milwaukee Fire and Police Pipes and Drums. We're going to ask you, Gary, even more about this Midnight Piper tradition, and I want to ask you even more about what it's like to actually play the bagpipes, because it seems like a very physical and complicated instrument. Will you share some of your tips and experiences?
Well, when people talk to us about how difficult is it, we start out by telling them it only has 9 notes. There's no sharps, no flats, and it only has 9 notes. However, the coordination, the manipulating the bag at the proper times and keeping the bag full of air so it keeps the pressure and you get the notes, that takes a little bit of coordination and learning.
We'll find out more from Gary Byers about how to play the bagpipes and more about the Midnight Piper. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
I'm Sandy Max. It is my honor to be joined in the studio by one of the longstanding members of the Greater Milwaukee Fire and Police Pipes and Drums. He is bagpiper Gary Byers. Gary, how long have you been with the Greater Milwaukee?
Just short of 25 years.
Yeah?
I started when I was 62 years old, and I'm now 86.
Had you already retired from the police department?
I had. Otherwise, I would not have had the time to devote.
And where did you serve as a police officer?
I served at District Number 1 downtown, mm-hmm. and in a vice squad.
What's one of your favorite memories and accomplishments from those years on the job?
The good memories are when you help people, and there was a time when there was a person, professional person, who was absolutely hooked on gambling, and we worked gambling. My partner and I were the state experts on gambling, and so when we went undercover and talked to this professional, we found out that he was really bad, and he helped us take down an operation, but through the process, he gave up gambling and saved his family and his marriage. So it was stuff like that really helps.
Yeah, when you know that you made a true positive difference in right. someone's life. And did the adventurous undercover work. How right do some of these TV shows get? Do you ever watch like these police TV shows and laugh and go, that's not how it works?
I do laugh. I've never had anything happen that fast in life.
Get your results back, all the DNA and that sort of thing, or the right person shows up at the right time.
Right.
Well, thank you for your service in the police department. And I love that you are able to still help people by bringing them together through music and through pipes and drums music, whether it's in a parade or whether it's in these really profound moments of the Midnight Piper happening Wednesday night at 22 different police stations where a lone piper will play to honor the fallen officers and will play Amazing Grace, which is just such an emotional song. What is the scene like outside these police stations? Are people gathered?
People do gather more at some than the others. But if the officers are available, there'll be an honor guard there to be there with the piper, and the piper will play Amazing Grace three times. The first one signifies the individual coming into this world. The second verse is when you are spending your time with your family and your friends and the people you love. And the third verse is a walk-away verse. The piper walks away and gradually fades away. And when he does that, it signifies the transition from this life into the next.
Gary, I got goosebumps just having you describe why you play Amazing Grace three times in a row. And that's not even hearing the music. So as a bagpipe player, how do you play Amazing Grace when it affects you emotionally? You know, if you're a singer, your voice wavers and it may even give out. Does it have a physical effect on you if you get emotionally overcome while you're playing bagpipes?
It can, but the piper, under normal circumstances, has to concentrate on playing the pipes, and that helps a lot. If you allow yourself, if it's a friend or family member, and you allow yourself to drift away from concentrating on the music, yes, it can affect you.
I can imagine. So people are welcome to stand outside the police station and be part of this community?
We encourage it, and the more, the merrier. And it helps the active police officers to know that people care and that we haven't forgotten the fallen.
Check to see if your community police department is participating. One of the 22, I will roll through them really quickly. Cedarburg, Coleman, Fond du Lac, Franklin, Germantown, Greendale, Hales Corners, Menominee Falls, Mequon, Milwaukee at 7th and State, Muskego, New Berlin, Oak Creek, Port Washington, Racine, St. Francis, Sheboygan, South Milwaukee, Watertown, Wausau, Wauwatosa, and West Allis. And next, Gary Byers, will you do us the honor of performing Amazing Grace?
I'd be happy to.
Stay with us. It's the song you need to hear next.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
I'm Sandy Max, and the meaningful tradition of the Midnight Piper will occur on Wednesday at 11:55 at 22 different police departments around southeastern Wisconsin. And what happens is a lone bagpiper plays Amazing Grace three times to honor law enforcement officers who've lost their lives in the line of duty, and to perform from the Greater Milwaukee Fire and Police Pipes and Drums, bagpiper Gary Byers. Gary Byers of the Greater Milwaukee Fire and Police Pipes and Drums, playing Amazing Grace three times, as it will happen at the Midnight Piper Tradition Wednesday at 11:55 in honor of National Law Enforcement Officer Memorial Day. MilwaukeeBagpipes.com is where you can see the full list of all 22 police department locations. And Gary, which location will you be performing?
Germantown.
In Germantown. And does it ever get easier to play that? I have goosebumps as you performed.
No, it really doesn't get easier. You reach a plateau, but then somebody will give you a new tune that is very challenging.
But thank you very, very much for all that you do and for your time. And hope to see you performing again as the Greater Milwaukee Fire and Police Pipes and Drums. And you have plans beyond May. Do I understand you're going to perform at Irish Fest?
Yes, we perform every year at Irish Fest. At the end of this month, we also have a very special piping engagement, and that's the Blue Mass. That's the Mass for police officers at the Basilica, and it's something very special.
What's the date of that Blue Mass?
I believe it's the Tuesday the 26th.
You can double-check MilwaukeeBagpipes.com. Amazing Grace, the song you need to hear tonight and on Wednesday at the Midnight Piper. Thank you, Gary Byers.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, a deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to the second hour of a supersized episode of What's on Tap. I am excited to introduce you to more creatives in our circle here, but I want to remind you that if you're looking for a very entertaining way to learn, a film all about foundation garments is screening on Thursday called Brava, A Titillating History of Bras, made by local filmmaker Pam Percy. And she's going to join me at 7:35 with your personal invitation to see this film and a fashion show of very creative bras. It's going to be a very fun night at the Oriental Theater. And our bonus hour at 8 o'clock, a music-filled party. Local band Kitty Softpaw is poised to release their new album, Catalyst. They're going to give us a preview, and you'll also find out about Guitar Town Music Festival in Waukesha in June, celebrating the life and legacy of Les Paul. So that is all coming up, but right now I'm absolutely delighted to welcome to the What's on Tap studio two actors from Milwaukee Chamber Theater's A Raisin in the Sun performance. We'll round robin. First, Silver, introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Silver Anderson. I use they, them pronouns, and I am a senior in high school at Golden Meyer.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are so poised. I would never guess, like, hey.
Surprise. I get that a lot. So, yeah.
Well, welcome, Silver.
Thank you.
And I'm excited for you to be involved in Milwaukee Chamber Theater and have those acting opportunities mm-hmm. at such a young age.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. And back in the studio, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Ekene Kigwani. I am not in high school. I have not been for 12 years. But I'm understudying Walter Lee Younger.
I am so glad that you're back. The last time you were in the What's on Tap studio, you were part of Hellenica.
Mm-hmm. The Hellenica Hootenanny.
The Hellenica Hootenanny. It was great that you were here and with Kyle Hanneken, who's creating, aspiring to make this incredible mm-hmm. musical all about the birth of democracy. Mm-hmm. And who did you play in?
I was Hellenica? Plato, the narrator.
Yeah, exactly. Very important. You can't have the birth of democracy without Plato.
No, you can't.
So I feel like you're only involved in very profound plays important.
I try to be. I also feel like every time Javelin Gray is on this show, I am on the show shortly after.
You follow. Well, you're involved in the Constructivists as well. You're part of their company.
Yes, that's correct.
And congratulations on the run of Bug.
Yes, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and now Tony Award nominated play after being on the smaller regional circuit for 30 years.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
A very impactful. I got to make it to closing night, so I was really glad
that I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Josh Schmidt, Tony nominated sound designer for Bug, also assisted with A Raisin in the Sun.
I had him in last week because it was like, hey, you're a Tony Award nominee now. And Josh Schmidt is one of those names. You open up any playbill, mm-hmm. you see him as this sound designer. It's not because he's the only guy in town. It's because he's that talented.
Yeah.
So yeah, Josh Schmidt did the sound design for A Raisin in the Sun as well. Well, assisted.
He assisted, yes. The sound design was primarily done by Kellen Abstin Classic.
Yeah.
Josh Schmidt helped a little bit with putting some things together.
Because we talked about that collaboration because DJ Classic creating the soundscape for an Iliad mm-hmm. with Milwaukee Chamber Theater was great,
mm-hmm.
was perfect because that was such a profound in the round performance. If your sound was distracting, it would have been distracting and it just absolutely enhanced.
Right.
So we're talking about A Raisin in the Sun. Tell us what the plot is of A Raisin in the Sun for those who might be new to this play.
Yeah, so A Raisin in the Sun takes place in the south side of Chicago in the mid-1950s. It follows the Younger family, Walter Lee, his wife Ruth, his sister Benita.
I'm understudying.
And then their mom. Their father has recently passed, and a lot of the plot of the play revolves around this insurance check that they're getting, life insurance from the dad passing away, $10,000. Walter has some plans that he wants to use the money for, and his mom doesn't want to do that. So it just follows that and just the struggles of them living in basically not a great part of Chicago and having these dreams and these aspirations that they feel limited to reaching based on the circumstances that they're in.
And it's interesting that these themes still hold true today, considering this play was written in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And Silver, what does this play mean to you at such a young teenage part of your life? How does these family themes and financial struggles resonate with you?
Yeah, well, I am about to go to college, so that's a huge financial undertaking that I am so... Yep. Just ready to take that on.
I enter the sarcasm here.
Yeah.
You're bracing yourself.
I think part of that. And then last year when I took AP Lit, yes, I'm very high school. We read Langston. I don't want to say the wrong person's names, but we read...
Langston Hughes.
Yeah. Yes. So,
yeah, you can say.
Yes. What Happens to a Dream Deferred, and that is the poem that kind of starts or branches into the play. So I think it's that sense of not... missing out on your dreams just because the world said, I don't want to see those dreams right now. And really taking that chance to be that person in your family, like Benita, who is so confidently like, I'm going to be a doctor. Nothing is going to stand in her way. And she takes every opportunity to get there. And I think I very deeply resonate with that because I've grown up in a family that does push us to do what we want to, that makes us happy. And telling stories has been my safe place and my haven for 10 years now, I think. But that ability to do so is just something so special. And I think being able to tell that story in relation to the person that I am and being Black and all of the things that go along with being a storyteller and a person of color is just very wonderful and very awesome to me.
They are Silver Anderson. Mm-hmm. Also joining me, Ekene Ikegwani.
Mm-hmm.
Both in the performance at Milwaukee Chamber Theater of A Raisin in the Sun. And we're going to learn more about behind the scenes and what the significance is of this play now and what it means to be an understudy, a peek behind the curtain. So stay with us here on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, where we are shining a light. We're having a little cast party for A Raisin in the Sun at Milwaukee Chamber Theater, now through May 24th at Broadway Theater Center. And my cast party includes two of the understudies, Ekene Ikegwani and Silver Anderson. Thank you so much for joining me. And for both of you, because of the significance of A Raisin in the Sun, and for those who don't realize the history, Lorraine Hansberry, which I feel like you two know this, but this made history 1959. Lorraine was the first black woman to produce a play on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And the youngest American playwright to win the New York Drama Critics Circle Award. At that time in 1959 and 1960. And then, to come on with such a bang, in 1960, 4 Tony Award nominations. And they're just to... I wonder what it would have been like to be here to see that impact.
Mm-hmm.
Go, oh, this is my story, and it's written from a place that I know, and to see other people really resonate with it. And then in 2014, 3 Tonys it won, including Best Revival. So there's a lot of influence and impact to seeing this show. This is one of those bucket list shows. If no one has seen this play, if someone hasn't seen this play, this is one of those shows to go see. And I was in the Broadway Theater Center on Saturday at that closing production of Bug.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people were dressed to the nines. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a night out at the theater. And mm-hmm. it was great to see people just coming in to really see this significant show. So now that I've shared the kind of historical context, in addition to the universal themes, when each of you found out about this play being staged, did each of you make a point to audition, Silver?
It was hilarious because I got the season casting because I wanted to do something outside of the normal theater that I tend to work with as a young person. And then I saw this, and right before I had spent every Friday ushering for Every Brilliant Thing with Chamber. So I kind of got to know Josie Tretien and Brett, and I got to be like, hey guys, nice to meet you. So we were all friendly. And then I saw the season announcement and I went, Risen in the Sun? It's not all casted? Oh my God, let me email them right now. Hello, Josie. Hello, Brent. I see you're doing Risen in the Sun and it's not fully casted. Oh, what's that? My resume and my headshot? That's so crazy.
Called networking and being assertive.
Yeah. Smart. And then I was literally like, I was walking out of volleyball practice and then I got an email from Josie Tretien that was like, hey, do you want to be Beneath's understudy? And I was like, yes. So I reached out about like being in the show, and then I was like, if that's not possible, I'm also really interested in understudying because I've been wanting to, but I haven't had that opportunity yet. So that was my entryway into the project.
What exactly was it about A Raisin in the Sun that made you kind of jump into action?
I really wanted to do a show with a lot of black people. A lot of the theater that I do is very, very oriented towards a specific demographic, which is not the worst thing in the world. I love all of those people. But I think the community and atmosphere is just completely different and a lot more comfortable for me because I feel like I perform less when I'm around people that are like me or do look like me. And I had my birthday in the middle of the rehearsal process, and we sang the Stevie Wonder just like off the bat. It was like, it's my birthday. My birthday was yesterday. And they just bust into Stevie Wonder. And I was like, this is exactly what I needed today. So just that sense of belonging was very important to me. And as my first like fully professional production to work with like all of these incredible adult actors and just like be, oh my God, I'm around all these awesome people. It was just such a specific thing where I knew I needed to be a part of this.
That's great. And Ekene, how about you? As soon as you found out about A Raisin in the Sun, what was your reaction?
I didn't have one. probably because I was busy. So I just assistant directed Bug. So I was focused on that.
You were working, immersed in it.
I talked to Maya about assistant directing for her in August. So, and I'm engaged and I'm getting married at the end of July. And so I made a promise to my fiance that after Bug, I wouldn't do anything.
Congratulations. I think that was wise. That was wise.
And then in like the first couple of weeks of working on Bug, Josie emailed me.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, so this just came up. It's kind of alongside Bug, but also kind of after. I feel like I should do this.
Yeah.
And she agreed. So we're all good there. To have the chance to work with Chamber, to be in the room with all these talented black people, to be able to understudy DeMonte Henning, who is phenomenal, phenomenal actor.
Stellar.
That was not something that I could turn down. And I feel like it's definitely gone very well. Like I'm raising myself to another level, just being surrounded by all the phenomenal, phenomenal people that are in the cast, just involved with the process, honestly.
What an excellent opportunity Milwaukee Chamber Theater and Brent Hazelton and the whole team there have mm-hmm. created. I want to ask you, when we come back, just after a very brief break, I want to ask you about the understudy side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have thoughts. I have thoughts and I have questions. Team? Silver Anderson and Ekene Ikeguani are my guests for this cast party for A Raisin in the Sun. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. I am Sandy Max, joined in the studio by cast members of A Raisin in the Sun, on stage now at Milwaukee Chamber Theater, set in the 50s in Chicago. Silver Anderson and Akene Ekigwani are the cast members joining me. And Silver, how do you describe the plot of A Raisin in the Sun?
Yeah. Lorraine Hansberry asked the question, what happens to a dream deferred, about the younger family in Southside Chicago. They're in an apartment, not their favorite place to be. There's a lot of damage and they've been there for a long time. And the matriarch of the family lost her husband. She received a check in the mail for the life insurance. And the story kind of takes place as they receive the money and kind of work through what their future is going to look like with it. And a lot of things happen in between those three acts.
And both of you are understudies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there is an understudy performance.
Yes.
What is that date?
That is next Tuesday, May 19th.
7:30.
And I think you're both excited.
Yes.
I think it's wonderful that theater companies have started doing that because...
Oh, it's great.
I am not sure that I fully understand what it means to be an understudy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a role that you get excited for, even though you may not ever get on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So explain your approach to an understudy, what it is and why you would be excited about it.
Yeah. So this, for me, the excitement was about being able to work with engaging and challenging material. Cause this is probably the most lines that I've had to memorize for a show.
An important dialogue.
And important.
Very well
like,
written.
It's well written to a point where you want to get it as close as possible to the text. So that's also its challenge. And to be in the room to learn from such talented actors and see what they're doing. Like I go to a lot of the rehearsals and I watch DeMonte working through things. And I'm just like, oh, I see what you did there. And like it's helping me grow as an actor, too. But it's also hard because, you know, you don't really get the chance to step into those shoes and like work with it in the rehearsal process as well, which adds another challenge.
Because you're kind of going in like, okay,
yeah.
Kind of. More or less cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
You're going to be a little stiff no matter what.
Right.
I shouldn't say that. But it's not second. It's not as much muscle memory.
Yeah.
Is what is more like just that level of muscle memory and comfort. You're not going to be stiff. You'll be great. You'll be great next Tuesday. Forgive me. But you don't. Silver's, they're doing the robot. The robot.
Yeah.
Silver, why are you excited to be an understudy?
I think. Over the last couple of performances that I've done, I think I've noticed those understudies that shine and just like the dependability aspect. I really admire people who are able to be so dependable, like, oh, they got it. I feel safe. But I think the biggest thing was being in the space and learning from all of these people who have been doing this work for a long time. And understudies after COVID have become so appreciated because there is so much need to have someone that mm-hmm. knows what they're doing if anything happens at all, mm-hmm. ever. But I think the presence of an understudy performance is so wonderful because the casting of shows is always so interesting to me and how different it can be when one person steps into a different role or if you have an entirely different cast of people, how differently things sound or hit or look. Is just something so incredible. And to give that chance to more actors to tell these stories is so awesome.
And the magic of live theater, mm-hmm. live performance, that it is, it captures those moments, yeah. those different chemistries.
Especially with a guaranteed performance, yeah. like you do all the work and they're like, you will go on at one point. We give you that for sure.
Yes.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
So next Tuesday, May 19th
mm-hmm.
is when we can see Ekene and Silver on stage at A Raisin in the Sun at Milwaukee Chamber Theater. What is the best way to keep up with A Raisin in the Sun?
Yeah, people can get tickets at milwaukeechambertheater.org. They can call the box office. That number is also on the website. Yes. I don't have it memorized.
That's all right. I hate to stir people up and get them excited for A Raisin in the Sun and then have them go, wait, when is it? I can't get anything. So yeah. A Raisin in the Sun, May 19th to see Ekene and Silver and runs through officially May 24th at Broadway Theater Center. Thank you both for joining me and break a leg next Tuesday.
Thank you.
And now we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is Jessica Gatzo.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
I am Sandy Max, and I am so delighted to have a special guest in the studio with me who has created a film I think everyone should see just based on the title alone. I am thrilled to welcome to the WTMJ studio filmmaker and creative Pam Percy. Pam, welcome.
It was wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
And what is the name of your third documentary?
It's Brava, A Titillating History of Bras.
And we can all see this Thursday at the Oriental Theater, Brava on the big screen.
Yeah, it's going to be such a fun night. There are three events that night. Victor DiLorenzo is premiering his film. And then after that, we're going to see Brava. And we're going to end the evening with a fantastic style show of 22 original bras made by local artists. Karen Valentine is hosting, and it's going to be just a riot.
This is truly an event. So you've got a short film, then the feature film, then a fashion show of all the creative bras.
And we're expecting many of the people in the audience to wear their own creations. So after the fashion show, we are planning to have sort of a Brava march around the Oriental Theater.
Strut your stuff like a conga line.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Pam, before we get into Brava, A Titillating History of Bras, which I'm sure you're now a wealth of knowledge on, tell me about the other two documentaries that you have made so far.
Yes, I started filmmaking just 6 years ago.
Really?
Yes. I actually got into it in a rather sad way. My husband passed away, Martin Hintz, and he had wanted to make a film about his father, Lauren Hintz, who died at the very end of World War II as a P-47 pilot. So he wanted to make this film. And then after he passed away, there was really nobody else to make it. So I had never made a film before, and I'm very good at taking chances. So I just stepped right in and started writing it. And luckily, there was a wealth of information. Lauren Hintz was a poet, a writer. He died at 27, but until then, there was and so many family photos. So I was able to read diaries and create the beginning of his life until he passed away at 27 years old.
What a tribute to him to be able to finish this documentary.
Right, right.
And to your husband.
Yeah, it was for him.
And a great way to preserve important history, especially World War II history.
Right, exactly. The second part of the film, the first part is his life, and the second part is the excavation. So 75 years after the plane crashed, they kind of knew where the plane went down, but they really didn't. So the family started working with archaeologists and Italians to pinpoint where the plane went down.
It's like a mystery as well.
I know. And so once they finally determined, they excavated the site and not only found his plane, but they found his dog tags intact and his bones and other personal items. So it was quite moving. They found Lauren.
Wow.
75 years later.
What a gift you've given to your family and again to the world to preserve this history and understand the humanity of this as well and to have that mystery out there for so many years.
Yes.
And that you provided that.
Right. And the sadness and the horror of war. It was such a wasted life. He was so talented. And to pass away at 27 was just tragic.
What a story to tell.
It was. And I made it during COVID. So there was an extra element of emotions, as you can imagine.
Pam Percy, that's your first documentary, something so important and meaty and historical and heavy. Tell us about your second documentary. How do you follow that up?
So the second one, Chicken City.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The second film was called Chicken City.
I thought, Chicken City.
It's a history of chickens. It had nothing to do with how to raise chickens, but it's the history of chickens in art and culture and film and even religion. And it's animated, and it takes place in a fictitious world of buildings, Chicken City. So there's Roosevelt Academy and the Eggenheim Museum. So you go into these places and learn about the importance of chickens in art and history and literature. It's quite different. And when you see this film, you'll realize it's everywhere. So I started collecting anything that looked like a chicken. My collection got overwhelming. The house was just full of chickens. Now I have purged.
So that gets us into the next subject. Here with Pam Percy to talk about her third documentary called Brava, A Titillating History of Bras. So we've talked about World War II, your first documentary. We've talked about Chicken City, your second documentary that is very lighthearted and exploring the cultural significance of the chicken all around the world.
Right, right.
Now, what's your path to go from those two documentaries into making a film all about the history of bras?
Yeah, well, I don't sleep very well, and I come up with some crazy ideas. And one was to create a sort of a Cinderella story where instead of leaving a slipper, she leaves her bra. So that was the initial thought.
At someone's home.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So it sounds like there might have been some fun had at this home.
There definitely was.
So there's the basis there. But how do you turn that fun moment into a full history?
So instead of going around and looking for someone to fit the bra, Bob, who's the main character in the film, he becomes obsessed with bras. So as an animated character, he goes to a store called Bras R Us and starts talking to the shopkeeper. So she relates the history of bras, and then he sort of counters it with poems that I wrote, or verses. So the film has music, animation, lyrics, and it's a love story. So it's got everything.
She is filmmaker Pam Percy. We will learn more about her entertaining documentary screening Thursday at the Oriental Theater, including the local talent providing music and voices. More about Brava, the titillating history of bras, next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Local filmmaker Pam Percy shares her new documentary with us on the big screen on Thursday at the Oriental Theater, with a full fashion event of creative bras in which you are encouraged to wear your own, and a screening of the short film by Violet Femmes founder Victor DiLorenzo called Mary for the Block. You get to see all sorts of good local filmmaking. And Pam, as you researched for your documentary, what surprised you most when you were digging into the history?
That the styles have changed so much throughout the ages. It started back in the Roman times, which is where everything seems to have started.
And underneath our togas, we had support?
They were called strophiums. It was basically just a strap. And then in the Middle Ages, the corset was developed, and that lasted for quite a while, all different styles of corsets. Then after the corsets came another style, the flapper era after the war. And that style was to be bustless, hipless, and waistless. So it sort of had an androgynous look. Then the style was to flatten the chest.
Yeah.
And that lasted a while. And then again, they felt that all that binding wasn't good for the human body. So they sort of moved away from that. And then they got into Hollywood influence, and the war influenced bullet bras and torpedo bras. So after that phase, breasts became bigger. I'm not sure how to say that.
I don't know that that's a trend that has gone away ever since then. I think we're still in that trend.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just so funny that that bullet and that conical shape is not natural at all.
Right.
And that,
right.
That becomes the beauty aesthetic to aspire to for several decades.
Exactly, yeah. The film also tells all the different people that developed the bra. There were very, very many. Things developed over the ages, all the different types of bras.
That's why you have Brava, a titillating history of bras. These are subjects that bring out the giggles, but they're a part of everyday life. They are part of the human body. And if you're a female, you have your own bra history. This is such a part of one's femininity and one's identity, and they are important to both sexes.
Yeah. Men like bras.
Exactly. And that's why you're encouraging people to wear creative bras on May 14th on Thursday, the screening of Brava, a titillating history of bras at the Oriental Theater starts at 6. People are welcome to come in.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen your documentary on the big screen yet?
I did. It was fabulous.
Cool.
Yeah. I had only seen it on my computer probably 100 times. But when I saw it on the big screen, it was almost emotional. It looked really good. It looked great.
Well, you get to experience it again at the historic Oriental Theater.
Yes.
With a fun group of people. Now, I'm interested in finding out, just talking about, bras are important to men and women. Mm-hmm. You're telling the story through Bob.
Bob, yes. Yes.
In a playful way.
Mm-hmm.
Why tell this story from a man's perspective?
It was just sort of his curiosity and naivete, and it fit with the story. He wanted to know all about bras because he was lamenting the fact that Bravette left him. And it is a love story, so spoiler alert, she does come back in the end.
Are you sure you want to spoil that? Or is that also encapsulating the vibe that you want with this documentary? What do you want people to take away after they see Brava?
Well, they'll learn about the history of bras, but I want them to just sort of have a happy, fun, loving experience. And I think they will. The songs are beautiful. There are three original songs. One was written by John Seeger, who sings with Robin Plurer.
Oh, two very well-known local musicians.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
And for talking about local music, you will recognize the narrator's voice of Brava.
Yes, Victor DiLorenzo is the narrator.
Violent Femmes, known for his drumming, but...
He's got a beautiful voice.
And very poetic.
Yes.
And was the lyrical poetry of this film important to you as well?
Oh, very much so. I don't think of myself as a poet, but once I started writing the verse, I couldn't stop. It just kept flowing and flowing. And telling an historical story, too, was fun and challenging. So I had a really good time writing this and researching the history of bras.
What are some of the other things you have done? Because you mentioned you just started getting into documentary filmmaking in the past 6 years. What a great library you've created so far. Tell us about your creative journey so far leading up to Brava.
Well, I think this is my 7th job. I keep reinventing myself. And I think the secret is to just take chances and just do it. So I've done everything from being an organic farmer to co-writing with my late husband, Boris and Doris, on the town for the Shepherd Express.
Oh, the curtain has been revealed.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Pay no attention to the woman behind the curtain. So you were Doris.
I was Doris, yes, yes.
Those were fun columns.
Those were. We had a blast writing those.
And it was for those who don't know, what was Boris and Doris on the town?
Well, sort of a gossip.
We're missing that now.
I know. It was a gossip.
But
yeah.
Out on the town, like, so you would go out, three
nights
a week?
Yeah, and we would just see who was there and try to promote the events. And it had a mission to showcase what was happening in Milwaukee in a very positive way, too.
But you had a lot of flair, and you wouldn't necessarily name names.
Yeah.
That's what I was most amused by. Like, a person you'd recognize, maybe from Milwaukee PBS, may have had one too many drinks. Like, you had that fun flair.
I don't remember ever saying that.
But it was a fun,
column
to read. And like you said, it was great to showcase what's happening all around our city. And so after you were Doris of Boris and Doris then?
Well, I guess to go back a little bit further, I started with event planning. I started planning festivals. And then I was the manager of Theater X for 3 years, the experimental theater company. And then I did a radio show called Hotel Milwaukee on Wisconsin Public Radio for 8 years.
What was Hotel Milwaukee about?
It was a program that showcased talent in Milwaukee. And it was with a five-act play. It took place in a fictitious hotel, Hotel Milwaukee. The show would go into rooms like the Boom Boom Room. We would go into and hear some music, or the lounge, and we'd hear poetry. And it was great fun. There were recurring characters, and it was very popular.
Local filmmaker Pam Percy shares her new documentary with us on the big screen on Thursday at the Oriental Theater. And we're going to continue this creative chat with her. And she has your invitation to join in the fashionable fun on Thursday at the Oriental. Stay with us.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
And my guest is local filmmaker Pam Percy. She has made 3 documentaries right now, and Chicken City and Brava, the titillating history of bras, you can see on Thursday at the Oriental Theater. They're especially creative, animated, lighthearted in their style. Pam, I love that you can create these spaces with Hotel Milwaukee, with Chicken City, but you're really creating these worlds for people to enter and be entertained and maybe learn. And
I hope.
And it sounds like you're doing it again with Brava,
yeah,
a titillating history of bras. Yeah. So when you reached out to everyone who's involved in Brava, and you said, this is what I'm doing, a documentary about the history of the bra, but I'm going to do animation, and it's going to be pretty poetic and rhyme, and I want music. What's the usual response from the people in your creative circle?
Well, that was more for when I was asking for money.
Sure.
Yes.
It is a business. The hustle is real.
That's
for
the hardest
every
part
producer.
Of making a film is fundraising. So when I told people that it was a documentary that was lyrical, it was poetic, people looked a little askance and said, okay. But we have had some luck with fundraising.
What is your ultimate hope for Brava, a titillating history of the bra?
Well, the other films, Finding Lauren is on YouTube, and Chicken City is on Amazon Prime. So I'm hoping that we might find a distributor for Brava, too, that will get it on various platforms.
In the meantime, you can see it on the big screen Thursday at the Oriental Theater, and it is going to be a full-on event, including a creative bra fashion show. So Pam Percy, filmmaker and creator of Brava, A Titillating History of Bras. This is your time to personally invite everyone to join you Thursday at the Oriental Theater. Tell us what will be happening, because it's not just a film screening. This is a full-on event.
The program begins at 6:30, and the first part of the program is Mary for the Block by Victor DiLorenzo, a short film. After that will be Brava, A Titillating History of Bras, and that runs about an hour. And then the grand finale of the evening will be a wild style show hosted by Karen Ballantyne, KV, who is just a hoot.
Big personality. I think that's the right MC for a fashion show full of creative bras.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And there are 22 artists that have created bras with everything from feathers to ribbons to buttons. And they're wild. They're crazy.
Are these all local artists?
Local artists, yes. 22 of them.
Oh, how wonderful. You've also got the Edessa Fashion School involved.
They're going to be doing 4 of the bras.
That is just a wonderful showcase. Have you seen a preview of some of these creative bras?
Oh, I've seen them all. They're just fabulous. And at the end of the fashion show, the models will be parading around the Oriental Theater, and anybody that's wearing a bra will be invited to join in.
How inclusive and fun. And I also think, you know, people love to show it off.
Yes. People are getting very excited about wearing their creations. I can't wait.
Well, good luck.
Thank you
so
much.
And I wish you tons of fun
at
the Oriental Theater on Thursday. Everyone is invited. What's the best way to find out about Brava and this event?
BravaTheFilm.com. You can buy them at the door, but we are expecting quite a crowd. We've already sold 300 tickets. So we're urging people to buy them online.
Yeah.
BravaTheFilm.com.
You don't want to miss a minute of this amusement and stimulation.
Yes. Well, it's been so much fun to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pam Percy, now filmmaker, in addition to all of her creativeness. The website, one more time.
BravaTheFilm.com.
Next, an album release party with local band Kitty Softpaw in the WTMJ studio. Be the first to hear their new music from their album Catalyst after the 8 o'clock news right here on WTMJ.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome back to our bonus hour of What's on Tap, and I am in my happy place, as ever, being here with you on WTMJ, and I'm surrounded by musicians. Welcome back to What's on Tap. You're not quite the house band yet, but you're getting awfully close.
That's our goal.
Kitty Softpaw. Round robin for everyone so we can get to know your voices. Billy, we'll start with you.
My name is William Edmund O'Neill III.
True that.
And I'm going to sing for you.
Excellent.
Just minutes.
Yes.
Larry Hanlon, bassist.
Rick Kagopian, drums.
Whoop, David, turn your microphone on. There we go.
David Wise, guitar.
There we go.
He is on.
And
this is the sound of Sandy Mack's number one fan, Brad Smith.
I'm sure.
Oh, you got competition.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to have a duel. We're going to have a sing-off. Oh, thank you very much. And you come bearing very, very good news as a band.
Yes, we are. We are, and that is a treat. We're eager to share with you and the public an album that has been produced, mastered, and physically produced to distribute to friends and family and the public.
Congratulations. And the title is?
Catalyst.
And Kitty Softpaw, you've managed to work the letters cat in there.
Shout out to Lori Hagopian Smith.
Was that purposeful?
Yeah. See, I initially came up with catastrophe, but everyone shot it down. So,
well, there's.
I like that too.
You do.
That's not bad.
This is your debut album, maybe your sophomore album, because then you lower the expectations. It's always the pressure of what your second album is going to be like. So,
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So, Catalyst, 12 songs, including a dance remix, is the 12th song. But how do you describe your music to someone who says, oh, you're in a band and it's called Kitty Softpaw?
I call it blues, rock, pop, That's kind of how I told my friends or family.
Kind of a blender of, yeah. of that. That's our roots.
Yes.
Got an indie streak. Yeah. And we have a singer like William O'Neill, too. A lot of emotion, a lot of dynamics, great harmonies.
I would say your charisma, Billy, comes across. Am I supposed to be calling him William now?
Just his mother
I
does
I do
that.
Call Billy Idol William in my personal life just for fun. Like, oh, William just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I can call you William. But Billy, you are so charismatic and energetic on stage.
You're just saying that because it's true.
Because I've seen it. Exactly. Hey. I saw you at Summerfest last year. But you as performers really are a good time. You're a fun band
Thank
to
you.
See. You can sing along. You can. It's very inclusive and a good time with some thoughtful lyrics. But your energy, Billy, does come across on a recorded medium. Don't you think, everybody?
That's why we Definitely. Went for it.
Yeah.
We were encouraged by friends. It's like, you guys got to put, these are good songs, you know? Because you're right, live is a live experience. Listening to a recording is a different experience. So the songs have to be good songs. They have to be crafted to some extent. And we're still trying to keep the live feel in there. So, it, you know, there's energy. But we thought the songs and the lyrics, especially in the harmonies with Larry. And we have a couple guests that jumped in on the record, too, to give us even more. We got some organ and piano.
Okay.
I don't want to give it away, no, but maybe that will excite people.
I'm a liner note reader. I'm a big-time liner note. So before you talk about your guests, let's have everybody understand just like, I won't say how many years collectively of musical experience we have in the room. No one enjoys that quantification, but you're all very experienced musicians and performers. So around robin again, Billy, how long have you been performing or singing, or do you have other musical talents that
Well, certainly by age 9, I was in the bathroom looking in the mirror, absolutely singing into the mirror.
Were you emulating anyone, or were you just being you?
Well, I had the great fortune of being babysat by a family down the block. I'm an only child, but the family down the block, the Mule Raths,
shout out,
on 56th Street. Had a big family, and one of them was a high school boy, and he would play Black Sabbath records for me, and he'd play Iron Man. And I was too young for him to be self-conscious in front of, so I got the view of a teenager just loving music. And he didn't even play an instrument, but he was a huge musical influence by just by air banding the guitar. When we listen to Black Sabbath albums. And
because you feel the
got
music.
An early start, you know, third grade. That's third grade. So
Larry,
when
did you start performing and what musician, what instruments?
Well, I like a lot of people, I started on piano. I'm a Kenosha kid. So for the first 10 years of my life, I live in Kenosha. And there was a really great teacher down there named Marjorie Murrow, who people from Kenosha might recognize the name. Anyways, she was my teacher for a couple years. Unfortunately, I had to move, so I had to leave the piano behind. But eventually, music drew me back. I saw some friends playing guitar, and I'm like, I need a part of that. I need to know what they're doing. And then I picked up bass because I'm like, I think I got a chance of being in a band if I play bass. And so it worked out well for me.
And Rick, I know that you have been in Boo, the band.
Uh-huh.
But I think you were in bands before that. When did you start playing?
Yeah, well, I shudder to think how long it's been, but I've been really grateful to have played with some great people, created some music that I've really enjoyed. I played with a singer-songwriter in Norway, went over there a couple times, and was a great experience.
Drop a name, just because it's
Tina,
fun.
Tina Lee Band. She's still doing well over in Europe, just writing some great songs, singing some great things. So that was an incredible experience, and I've been in a few other original bands, and it's nice to create music and share it with people. And Boo the Band, the cover band, we haven't played those since yesterday, so so it's fun to play, and this is the best to play with people about whom you care a lot, and we're creating good music and really gravitating towards some of the good lyrics and some of the good messages that we're sending out too.
And David?
I parallel with Larry. I played piano when I was very young, and I do have a Billy parallel in that my brother and cousin and I sort of been in third grade. That's back when Loverboy was really big, and we cobbled together a couple of guitars out of 2x4s, and that was our band up in the barn. But professionally, I don't play music outside of these guys. It's like no compete clause there. So.
You're a hot commodity.
That's right.
We love it because he's all kind of a blank slate. We've molded David to our wishes.
Sure.
So we leave him
That's
room.
That's what you think.
And Brad?
I've been playing since I was 12 years old. I started in the church. Shout out to church bands because they're very tolerant of all level of skill. I was often in the back of the band playing Kumbaya. But I got the bug early, been in bands, high school, college, after college. Always been playing some covers, but original music I've always been drawn to. And these guys, it was the right chemistry. We were lucky because bands – any band you join, you hope the chemistry is the right chemistry, you know, and then eventually someone, it's hard. It's like any kind of relationship. You go into it with best, and this one's been the best ever.
And that's why this is magic. It's a good
thing. We captured it, we hope.
Kitty Soft Paw.
And if anyone is falling asleep about this random band chirping about themselves, wake up because actually we got to just tell you, I mean, just because it's a fact, it doesn't, it's just like a statistical fact that our dear friend Brad here just spoke. We had the pleasure of playing with his brother, Chad Smith, who plays with a band called the Red Hot Chili Peppers and has played with them for over 30 years now, actually. And Brad drove him to his audition with the Red Hot Chili Peppers before most people knew who they were. And
Billy, you let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Ooh, when so, use that.
Nice.
When we come back, we will hear some songs from Catalyst, the brand new album from Kitty Soft Paw, who these five musicians making magic together, and their debut album. So you'll hear some of that new music and more about Chad Smith and the other guest artists on Catalyst. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
You are hearing brand new music from Kitty Soft Paw. Their debut album is called Catalyst. And you're hearing it first, because this is pretty much an album release party. It is absolutely my pleasure to welcome Billy, Larry, Rick, Dave, and Brad to the studio to share this good news. I have a handy-dandy CD in my hand, so you're doing it the old-school way as well. But where can people, now that they're excited to get to know you and eager to hear more, hear Catalyst and get it for themselves?
Well, you know, the best is really Bandcamp. It's crazy. It's a site you can listen to the entire record for free and hear the whole thing. You can download tracks. You can download the entire album, or you can buy CDs through Bandcamp if you want them delivered. We also are streaming on all the major platforms, as everyone hears so often now. It's really cool. Musicians now have so many ways to bring the music. But we did do some old school CDs. For those who have a car that still have a CD player, that's where we listen
to
a lot. But with the CD, you get a lyric booklet, a sticker, some color photos. So we add a little value to it. But if you just want the music, streaming all the major platforms, Spotify, Apple, Pandora, TikTok, over 30 streaming services, our album is on.
The 21st century now, huh?
Just like that.
So funny, yeah.
But even older school, we have three record stores that support us. If I may, Lilliput on Brady, or just off Brady, and Volta in Greendale. And our friends in Bayview, Rushmore.
Yay!
I'm shout out because those folks support local music.
I would say local independent bands and local independent record stores.
And then Sandy always at our shows, right?
I love to dance and sing along.
Yeah.
It's such great energy, and you have meaningful lyrics and fun lyrics. And even in listening to the CD, I'm like, oh, I'm singing along. It's my first time hearing it, and I'm singing along. And you also have an album release party on Wednesday in West Dallas.
Thursday,
the 14th.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
See?
Well,
people
get
there early.
If I come early, okay.
No, you're right. That is the 14th. Turn on your microphone, Billy.
We're sure Billy's mic is on.
We don't want to miss out on your
very important
Opry.
Yes.
On West Dallas.
Thursday. And what do you have planned for your official album release party at Ope on Thursday?
quite a lot of revelry.
Can we tell them?
Yeah, can we? I don't know if we can.
You want people to come out?
You know, it's pet friendly. Very pet friendly. Seriously, doors are open. I think forecast looks good. It's become kind of our home base. We've played there maybe a dozen times, and the people there are great. We love the staff. Fortunately, they have very good beer.
I love that a band called Kitty Softpaw that has a kitten on their album covers tell me that it's a pet-friendly venue.
Yes, so that's in our writer.
Probably more dogs now than cats there.
For
everyone
them all.
Getting to know you the first time, explain again for everyone the name Kitty Softpaw. Because they can't all see me doing a cat claw gesture.
Right. So if I can tell the story right, some years back when our kids were younger, and we offered them a chance to give the band a name, and they came up with Kitty Softpaw, who was like a cartoon character a couple years back. So we've kept it. We talked about changing it. It's hard to get five guys to agree with about anything. So we decided we're just going to leave it. We're going to roll with it.
It could have been worse. It could have been Bandy McBandface.
True.
So I think you came out ahead on that. Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking about the five of you on this debut album, 12 tracks. Who are your guest performers?
Well, Ed, a very important one. It was 6 of the 10 new recorded songs. They're all in the studio. And our producer on this, David Vartanian, joined us on many. And it was kind of cool because he loves the songs. And he goes, you know, just a little bit of piano here. Or let's bring in a little B3 organ. And it was a really nice sauce within the big gumbo. So we welcomed his input. You'll hear that. But we had backup singers. And most notably, as aforementioned, I dragged my little punk brother. He finally got a job, doing well. And it was during COVID where he had a studio set up and we just had to send him files. And he put drums on 3 of the tracks with Rick's blessing. And I should say even blessing, encouragement.
But here's what we haven't said. We haven't said the name. Who is your little brother?
It rhymes with Brad. So that's Chad
All
Smith.
All right. I'll say it loudly. Chad Smith. Yeah. And so he's your little brother.
Yes.
Is he taller than you?
Yes.
And so you're
how did that happen?
Tall drinks of water.
I remember coming home.
It's close though. Yeah. It's close.
But at O Brewery, he joined us when he was back here a couple years ago. They played the Harley anniversary, and he joined us on stage and played a song that is recorded and on this called "Good Life," and we tore it up. It's on. You guys. Check it out.
Here's a little, I can play a little bit of it.
Why you looking?
There you go.
That's a sample. La, 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 la. Told you could sing a lot. La, 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 la. Okay, I've lost
it. So right here. Right here. We're grooving. My amp goes out. I'm finally rocking out with my little brother. And my amp goes out because one of the backup singers knocked my plug out. So on the video, I'm still moving because I'm so excited. It's the adrenaline rush. And I'm looking around. I'm picking up. And he's just bashing. And I get replugged in just in time for my lead. So it was very theatrical, right?
The universe working out.
It was perfect. And he's laughing. He's going, oh, this is perfect. We finally planned this. And your amp goes out. But we finished strong. That's what's important. It was wonderful. He moves a lot of air. It's fun to watch. So he was inspiring to us. And then we played We're an American Band from Grand Funk Railroad. What a way to close it out, right?
Good times.
It was a good time. And that was Ope as well. So you can see we've got some good juju there. So it's this Thursday. At 7:30, we have an opening act, Blonde, great hot Wauwatosa band. And we play at 8:30. No cover charge this Thursday at Ope.
All ages, too.
Yes.
All ages and pet friends.
And all ages of dogs.
This is
and cats. There are cat sightings there.
We had a potbelly pig frequently.
Yeah.
There was a pig that wanders in.
Yeah. Little KSB shirts on it and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It just wanders in.
Yeah, it just comes in and helps itself and wanders out.
Speaking of shirts, too, these days, you know, merchandise, we'll have a brand new shirt, which is really exciting because we got a fun new logo with a cat blasting. I think our fan base will enjoy
this. This is kind of like a super cat rocket.
Isn't that?
The city.
Yeah, it's blessed.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, so I have one more serious question before we welcome you to debut one of your songs for all our WTMJ fans. But truly, five of you, all adults, all must have day jobs, or are you full time musicians? How is it that the five of you can get together and record?
Passion.
Lots of. Yeah, I guess lots of self-interest. It's a wonderful escape. Many text messages to try to clarify when we can do this. So,
yeah, you know, Dave probably has the most stressful job. Or Larry, because Larry's in a classroom. He leads a classroom.
I'm a high school Spanish teacher.
Muy bien.
So everyone, light a candle in your shrine for teachers. This guy,
yes, amen to that.
We'll love it. But optometrist, guess which one? This is like to tell the truth. Which one can you tell? And the guy who talks so much is retired. So
really?
I used to be in music publishing at Hal Leonard, doing the songbooks and all that.
And he quit the job to play in the band.
Yep. You can't get music out of your system.
I can't.
But I think that's a real accomplishment, and I love that you all have your creative streak. And on the Siding Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. You can text the word watch so you can see the performance. Text watch to 855-616-1620. And Reggie texted in, my wife and I got a kick out of Kitty Softpaw's album cover. Thanks for having these guys on. So will hear a world premiere. Can I call it a world premiere?
Yeah.
Will it be? All right.
Heck yeah.
Kitty Softpaw ready to release their album Catalyst to the World, and band members Billy, Brad, David, Larry, Rick are eager for you to hear one of their brand new songs from their album. Kitty Softpaw performs live in the studio their song Water and Bread next on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
You are hearing music from the brand new Kitty Softpaw album called Catalyst, their debut album with 12 songs. And you're saying, who is Kitty Softpaw? I want to say it clearly because it's a name worth remembering. They are a local band full of talent and a lot of fun. Maybe you saw them at Summerfest last year, but you'll see them again this year. But without further ado, Kitty Softpaw is Billy, Brad, David, Larry, and Rick, and they are very excited to play for you one of their brand new songs off of Catalyst. Billy, take it away.
The song is called Water and Bread. We're going to do a bit of an abbreviated version of it. Water and Bread.
One, two, three, one, two, one. It's an Irish song, so you can sing along. If you remember the words, remember the words. It's a folk song, and we is the folks. Dig it. So hear something for nothing. This isn't a hoax. Munches, and drink to the dead. In my desert, you are water and bread. This is our song, so sing along. Do you remember the words? You remember the words. You remember Moses' moment, and drink to the dead. In my desert, you are water and bread. You take your chances, don't save your dances. Hold me in your heart and in your head. In this desert, you are water and bread. Love like yours, dear, is water and
Kitty Softpaw, Water and Bread, from their brand new debut album, Catalyst.
That is pretty darn good, isn't it?
Did it feel good?
Oh, yeah.
That just sways. That's our sway song. It's a good drinking song. Don't you want to?
It does feel good.
It builds community.
Yeah, I do.
Well, we got a variety.
Conversation.
And we want to bring all our drums and our electric guitars. But
thank you so much for sharing your gift of music with us fresh. I mean, we are a news talk station, so this is music news here to have the release. And then Thursday, everybody gets to celebrate with you at Ope Brewing, a free show, pet-friendly, all ages. Doesn't get much more inclusive and welcoming than that, does it?
Well, on that note, this radio station not only gives us, but the whole artistic community of Milwaukee a very welcoming feel. And I just want, I speak on behalf of the band and many artists in the city is so thankful that you guys spend the time, give us a little spotlight and move it around, but it inspires us to play. I want you to know that radio stations and publications that cover local music inspire people to play more. So we're going to do our best. We got a variety of music. Like you're saying, I mean, that one kind of swayed, but we got some hard rockers. We got some soft ballads. We've got hopefully a variety that something for appeals for everyone. I just want to get in real quick. You mentioned Summerfest.
Yeah.
We're June 26th. It's a Friday. It's our sixth time playing our lovely local little festival, and we're at a 6:15 time slot.
Ooh.
So for those who Summerfesters know that used to come out at 12:30 to see us, we're at 6:15 on the Briggs End. God bless you.
Working your way later and later. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. No, it really is.
Which free stage are you on?
Briggs and Stratton.
Oh, cool.
Great one. 6:15, Friday the 26th.
Big backyard. Yeah.
Perfect
you go.
Vibe.
Thank you.
Aww,
yeah. But thanks for supporting us. We look forward to seeing everyone out at Ope this Thursday. And let's keep the good feeling going.
And is Bandcamp the best way, or is there an official Kitty Softpaw website?
There is kittysoftball.com, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook, please.
Thank you so much, Billy, Larry, Rick, Dave.
Thank you, Sandy.
Brad. Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks a lot.
Best wishes. Great to have us.
May you win a whammy.
Hey, we're in the running.
We're nominated.
It's a good year. Yeah.
Congratulations. Thank you so much. They are Kitty Softpaw. Follow them. Turn them up. I'm excited for you and this new endeavor. And stay with us because... might be able to twist Brad's arm to talk about his brother and the good work that the Chad Smith Foundation is doing, including a Les Paul celebration next month. So stay with us for that news next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Aw, come on. You got to turn up Les Paul and Mary Ford, especially when you're in Wisconsin. Les Paul, the Wizard of Waukesha, earning that nickname, not just as a guitarist, an electric guitarist, who created so much of the engineering that brought us the electric guitar. There's a lot of legacy for Les Paul, and what a wonderful way to celebrate. Brad Smith of Kitty Softpaw, who you just heard, and a new guest in the studio with me. Introduce yourself to everyone.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ian Ash. I'm the lead singer from the band The Last Bees. And along with Brad here, I'm also one of the organizers of Guitar Town Music Festival.
Tell us about Guitar Town Music Festival in Waukesha next month, when it is, and why you created it.
Well, it's going to be on Saturday, June 13th in Waukesha at the Les Paul Performance Center in Cutler Park.
Is that right next to the library?
Yes, that's the one.
That stage?
Yeah. That's the one.
I know that.
Perfect. Big park, easy access. It's free. It's going from noon to 8 p.m. So this is a big celebration. Just come on in. We've got six bands all playing original music. This is a strong promoted theme. These bands that you're seeing are making the music, and we curated a really good show. And you mentioned like why we came up with this. Two reasons. One is Waukesha's got bragging rights. They can talk Les Paul like no one else can, and they've done some wonderful things. The city totally embraces the history. But a music event of bands playing, we always felt there's an opportunity. And there's been some things that have happened, but we're really focused on in June. June 13th is 4 days after his birthday, which is June 9th. So every year we celebrate.
111th would have been his 111th birthday. Wow. I mean, you think about the century that he was around and the change that Les Paul made. The improvement, the advances.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's part of it, is to make sure everyone knows of that, and not just from a history standpoint, but from an inspiration standpoint. He's from Waukesha, Wisconsin, and this guy changed the music industry, and that is not hyperbole. Because of him, we have modern recording techniques. We can mix. We can do sound on sound. All musicians out there, they know that Les Paul gave us the ability to play on top of tracks that had been pre-recorded. Before, it was a mic in the room, and you grabbed it when you got it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Les Paul, that to me, even as important as his contribution to electric guitar, his recording contribution is probably even more widely impacted because that's all styles of music.
When you talk about creativity, and you know, we hear a lot about STEM and STEAM, it's like it's that combination of that scientific analytical brain with innovation and creativity. He just absolutely embodied that. And I feel like he was unstoppable. You know, the Rolling Stones are releasing an album in July. Mick and Kiefer, 82. Ronnie Wood, 78.
Wow.
But Les Paul was having his residencies in New York into his 90s.
True. Yes, absolutely. At the Iridium in New York. It's a fantastic venue. And when you go in there, you just see all the photos of all the great stars that he would host when they would come to town. Just so inspirational.
Yeah. Totally. And so just continued to be an inspiration and unstoppable. So to know that Waukesha is always embracing his legacy, and with the it's with murals and with the huge guitars that are fun to take the walking tour. But now you, Ian, and Brad are kicking it up a notch with a specific Guitar Town Music Festival.
Right. So the focus is original music, kind of a nod to Les. This is original. This is innovative. A variety of bands in the rock vein. This is a family-friendly event. So we really welcome people to come check out these acts, support them. But it is just the celebration of innovation in Waukesha. We're going to have a maker's market as well, so people doing crafts, kind of music-themed. Really cool things is like a petting instrument petting zoo. So White House of Music, one of our sponsors, is going to put out instruments for kids to check out and parents to have children or adults of all ages to get introduced to music. So in general, there's that large celebration. And kind of, if I may segue, is that's the interest with Chad Smith Foundation, my brother's foundation. So for those who are listening previous, Chad is the one of the Chili Peppers, and he's looking to give back to the music community that's been so good to him and our family. And the foundation is supporting events like this because they are inspiring people to play. And the other part of the foundation is to give people access to gear and then support them once they show interest. And so this is more on the inspiration side, but because White House of Music will be there showing them instruments, that's giving them access. And the way we're going to support it is just let them know there's a music community, that you know, there's ways to learn how to play and aspire to be on stage someday.
Yeah.
Because every band on there, all of them have a dream of playing their own music on stage, and they're going to get it.
And sharing that music. Ian, when did you first start performing music? What was your first exposure to be a performing musician?
Oh, man. Well, music ran in my family. And I think being a Beatles fan as a kid and seeing my parents watch the Beatles anthology on TV in the 90s, that just kind of left a mark on me. But then certainly growing up in Waukesha, Les Paul was just such a vibrant part of my community. And not only was that a talking point that brought people together, but I feel like fast forward now, it's still a talking point among all my musician friends and bringing us together, because I know all three of us that, you know, came up with Guitar Town Music Festival, myself, Brad, and our friend Mike, we all love playing Les Pauls. And, you know, we're all big into Gibson. And it's just a common theme that you see among musicians. We love playing Les Pauls, and we love who Les Paul was as a person. So, yeah, I'm just so happy that we get all this great original talent from all around the state of Wisconsin to come and perform in his hometown.
This is great. He is Ian Ash. He is Brad Smith. We will share more about what's special about the Guitar Town Music Festival, because there are even more activities in addition to the performances and the instrument petting zoo, even more ways to get in depth with Les Paul. So stay with us here on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap and the beautiful sounds of Les Paul and Mary Ford. And I am here with the co-creators of the Guitar Town Music Festival in the hometown of Les Paul. Waukesha, Wisconsin. Circle your calendar for June 13th for this free music festival right there on the stage outside the public library at Cutler Park, which is, funny enough, called, what's it called, Brad?
Les Paul Performance Center.
I know. It sounds like it's a building, though, but it's just this great stage that looks like a little house almost.
It's permanent.
Yeah.
And the sound system, it's going to sound great. And that space with the woods and plenty of room, bring your blanket and your chairs. There's also seating. It's ideal. We're, I mean, again, Waukesha is just laying out the carpet. And we've got great sponsors. The city's been great. City of Waukesha really wants us. Gibson Guitars is a big-time supporter, as well as Murphy and Prachthauser, White House of Music, 88.9. MKE Lifestyle Magazine, they're all combining to make this happen. So
it takes a village.
It does, and Waukesha can do it. So show up on the 13th, and if it goes well, maybe it will happen again.
Ooh. And Ian, who are the bands that are playing? Because I know that you and your collaborators specifically wanted local bands, original music on stage for this festival.
Yes, that's right. We pride ourselves on having six various bands from throughout the state of Wisconsin. So we got the Spirit Shakers from Kenosha. They're a fun hip-hop storytelling jam band type vibe. We've got Racing Pulses out of Madison. They're a new wave trio. We've got Violet Wilder out of Milwaukee. They're eclectic pop with three strong female voices and string instruments. We've got Valley Kill out of Eau Claire, kind of an Evanescence-sounding, female-driven progressive rock. We've got The Last Bees out of Waukesha. That's my rock outfit. We're kind of feel-good rock, pop, and indie stuff. We've got our headliner, Bellevue Suite, out of Milwaukee, and they are modern melodic rock, and they really do rock, let me tell you.
Fun! So that's a full day. I mean, is this a bring your picnic chair? And
absolutely. And you can come and go. You know, downtown Milwaukee, Waukesha is great, too. It's very walkable. They have a variety of fun, unique, you know, no chains, all due respect. It's really an original downtown. If those who haven't been there, for those who are, they get it. And it's all playing there supporting us. But because there's other things, the Maker's Mark, the Petting Zoo, also there's a guided tour. It's pretty unique. And this is a very great opportunity. If anyone wants to do a deep dive on Les Paul, go to the website, guitartownfest.com.
There you go.
Get that right. A lot of words, folks. Sorry about that. But guitartownfest.com yeah. For more details. You'll get all the updates. But you can also sign up to get a free minibus tour. It lasts about 45 minutes. That goes to all the Les Paul-centric buildings, including Club 400, where he and Mary Ford made their debut. I mean, they were the kings of the road in the early 50s. I mean, international superstars. It started in Waukesha at Club 400. So go have a schlitz at Club 400 and say you were there.
Well, and the leader of this tour is Sue Baker of the Les Paul Foundation.
It is so
Sue
fortunate.
Sue knew Les.
Like, very well.
That's right.
You can ask Sue, like, hey, what did Les think about this other thing? Or is it true that Les Paul and Mary Ford did this? Sue knows.
She's a fountain of knowledge. Yeah, that.
It's true.
So fortunate.
Yeah. If you're into Les Paul at all, you definitely want to come and do this tour because Sue, exactly like you said, she was very good friends with Les the last 10 years of his life especially. So come check it out.
Yeah.
We're trying to pull it all. And the cherry on top is Gibson as a sponsor has given us a Les Paul custom electric guitar. It's called the 70s model. It's worth almost $4,000. We are running a sweepstakes and we'll give that away to a lucky citizen who enters. And you enter through our website. Also on site, you can enter with QR codes and all that. But if you want to get a jump on it, guitartownfest.com website gives you details to enter into this opportunity to win a free Les Paul.
Well, you both mentioned that you are. That's amazing. GuitarTownFest.com. Circle your calendar June 13th in Cutler Park in Waukesha. And before I let each of you go in 10 seconds or less, but briefly, both of you said, oh my gosh, we love Les Paul guitars. So Ian Ash, your favorite Les Paul guitar?
I love the Gold Tops personally. That's the newest one I bought.
I've got a 40th anniversary, which has P90s, and it's the warmth. And you plug that into a Marshall amp, it's the sound of rock. You hear so many songs the minute you play a bar chord with that combination. So it's kind of short speak for you. Want to play rock and roll? Buy a Les Paul and a good tube amp and you're there.
Brad Smith, Ian Ash, thank you for being here and thank you for organizing the first ever Guitar Town Music Festival, possibly the beginning of a fine tradition.
Thank you, TMJ.
Thank you so much.
Hope to see you out there.
I am Sandy Max. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Catch up on the podcast anytime. And thanks for listening to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee.